The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
Goldie's Closet, episode 94, coming at you. Realm Network, brand family, thank you for being here. Thank you to everybody who has subscribed to russosbrand.com or to patreon.com/Goldilocks. We love you, we appreciate you, and we promise you some exclusive, entertaining, educational, quirky, funny, whatever, everything in between content. It's all created for you. And always I have on sports entertainment, wrestlers, you know, other entertainers, singers, artists. But today I wanted to bring you something a little bit different. I met this girl on a summit and she was just absolutely, first off, gorgeous. Of course, I like some eye candy too. Goldie likes her some eye candy. Absolutely gorgeous, but on the inside as well. You know, I love that inner beauty because she is so brilliant and has so much knowledge. Carla Elizondo. She's got a show called Inside Talk Show. Now, this is just one of the things that she does. The main reason that I wanted to have her on is she is a licensed therapist. She's a success coach. She is the CEO of Psyched Media. She is a speaker, a host, and Proctor Gallagher Institute consultant. She resides in Los Angeles, California. I know things are definitely interesting in the LA area, and I wanted to get her on with her take on how to live a healthy lifestyle, especially for a lot of the BS that's going on in the world right now. I would like to hear from a professional, and I know that she's going to be able to answer some questions and offer some insight that all of us can learn and benefit from. So without further ado, a warm Realm Network brand family, on applause, Miss Carla. Hey, cutie.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just great. How are you? You always look so pretty. How do you do it?
Stop it.
No.
Stop it.
You do. Your makeup is always so beautiful. I just like, wow.
Right back at you.
Oh, no. And I'm looking and I'm reading all about you. I already did your fanfare. And then we come in from a warm clap. And then I basically just ask questions of you. So I let everybody know. First off, thank you so much for your time today. Like, what a gift. I really appreciate that. And I told everybody, this is a very heavily supported men's network, you know, so of course they're going to want to look at some hottie like you. And I asked them to ask me questions today, like what we would ask a licensed therapist. But when I look through everything, like you just wear so many different hats and I love that. And I wonder, have you ever had people in your life, say to you, like, you're doing too many things, or do they get confused ever? Cause they do with me. So I'm not trying to project onto you. I just know, like, people sometimes don't quite get it. So when I see somebody who's doing this, this, and this, I look at it all as, wow, they're doing a lot for their brand. They must really know what they're talking about.
Honestly, no, I haven't heard that, which is really good. My mom, just because she worries about me. Are you doing too much? Are you okay? Are you getting enough sleep? But other than that, no. Yeah.
Okay, good. So people aren't on that kick. So I didn't mean to start it off on that. I was just like, that was a question that I was like wondering. Yeah. So you have your own show that you're developing. And what does this show do? I know you interview people, but like, what's the common denominator? What's the theme on Inside Talk Show?
Yeah. So Inside Talk Show is the first of many from Psyched Media. So really what I want to do is created my own production company, Psyched Media. Psyched Media.
That's what that is.
Yeah. Yeah. Psyched Media. So that's what that is. So it's all pretty new. Like I told you, I was never on social media before. I kind of missed the whole, I've been hiding under a rock, but really like I tried here and there, but it truly did not. I wasn't, to be cool, I didn't tell anybody like, oh, I'm not on social media. It gave me anxiety. it really made my stomach hurt. Like when I tried to like post things about myself. So this is a whole new venture for me, Psyched Media. And my goal with Inside Talk Show is to really just kick off the first idea that I had of being a host of a show. I've always really liked talk shows and talking about topics that matter and helping, because I've learned so much from mentors of mine and such. And so Inside Talk Show, I want to really focus on a mental health perspective, or, you know, it's an inside job. That's kind of my tagline.
No, I love that. And how you've had quite a few shows already and some very interesting guests that I've been skimming and seeing.
Yeah. I've been so lucky, very blessed to, you know, ask and you shall receive. You know, a lot of people are afraid. They feel like, I didn't know what I was doing. I have no idea. I mean, I did. I mean, I studied film and TV. I know production pretty well. I edit my own stuff. I do all my own thing. But yeah, as far as going out there, I think I'm just at that age where I don't care anymore. I go for it. I ask and people say yes. You know?
No, they do. They definitely do. And I am never surprised at how gracious everyone is when I ask them to come on my show or cross-pollinate or promote. A great lesson for everybody listening is people do say yes. And for the people that worry, like, what if things work out? I think a lot of us do that with relationships, and you are a certified. Tell me exactly what kind of a therapist that you are, because I'm reading, okay, so what, let's get into that. And then I want to go on to some other things.
Yeah. So I'm finishing my hours to be licensed on my own, but I'm an associate, which means someone else. I work under someone else's umbrella, but we do the same thing. So basically I'm an associate, registered associate marriage and family therapist.
Wow.
And yeah, so MFT is the official title. So it's, stands for marriage, you know, master's in marriage and family therapy, and just, you know, talk therapy, psychotherapy, cognitive behavior therapy. I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with the different modalities, and mental health has been.
No, I don't think a lot of people are, Carla. That's why
Yeah. So I'm just the classic basic therapist. Like you would come in for talk therapy, through either insurance or cash pay. And just talk about anything. The common problems are anxiety and depression, you know, just mental thought patterns, anywhere from, I haven't really worked with serious disorders such as schizophrenia or bipolar. I'm certainly capable of doing that. But it's just studying the mind and how our thoughts affect our emotions, and that our psychology becomes our physiology. And we truly are in charge. And it's hard to hear. It's really hard to hear. And I know it's been said in so many ways, but we are responsible for the way we think. We're responsible. And it sucks because, you know, there's a lot of crap around us right now, and we're not always in control when we're younger of our environment. But at the end of the day, we have to take responsibility for our individual experience in life. And yeah, so I'm that kind of therapist, the talk therapist, you know, if you've been through trauma, if you're struggling with grief, relationships, a lot of relationships, stuff like that.
Who did you talk to when you said earlier in the podcast, I haven't been on social media, it brings me anxiety? Like, who did you talk to? Did you talk to yourself? Did you talk your own self out of it, into it? How do you do that? Because I know I have a lot of anxiety with it. I know tons of people who are listening to this right now. I've gotten to know them over the last few years on the Realm Network. I know they have an anxiety, and I think it's so important. Like, this is why I bring on hotties, okay? Because I think a lot of you think, because, you know, maybe you think you don't look a certain way, or you think that you don't weigh a certain weight, or you think you don't have the background that somebody else has. And you know, it's no stranger to me to let you know, like, I have my own problems, or I get pissed and I vent about it online. I try to not make it like a daily habit for venting, but every once in a while I'll get on and say something, you know, hoping to seek a little bit of support, a kind word, a pat on the shoulder, on the back. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but we all have our own anxiety. And I'd like to talk about yours as a beautiful person. Like, why would somebody like you have any anxiety at all getting online? Because I think saying that helps other people understand that everybody's kind of in the same boat for different reasons, but still with the same paddle going up or downstream. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I want to say thank you for being so authentic. You are hilarious. Oh. Hilarious. You can have that serious side, but you can have that joking side, and you can have that, you know, rock and roll heart, you know. And the post you posted a few weeks ago about how you were at that gas station and you had that experience.
I was done.
Goldie, seriously, like, it's those things that just as a society, as you know, a woman who would be out late at night. Yes. Does it suck that we have to care about that? Absolutely. But that's the reality of the world we live in. So thank you for that reminder, because we all need it.
I appreciate that. Yeah. And, you know, and I'll tell you that I'm the dipshit for not. Now, we had a show Friday night that was hours away, and literally driving home to get 2 hours of sleep to get to the next venue in the morning. So it was like, do I want to take 10 minutes of a 2 hour window that I have to sleep and fuel up, or I kind of forgot about it. So The next day when it's time to get up and you're just like, oh my God, it feels like from performing, like a train hits you when you are that physical. And it's like, I have to get up and actually look decent to go to another show. Mm-hmm. And I didn't fuel up because I was like, shit, I am late. Mm-hmm. And I don't want the rest of my band, after I bitched at them saying, you better be there at, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning. And here's me, 10:20. I didn't fuel up. Mm-hmm. I should have. And I saw that gas thing. And that's the first mistake. Even though where was the time? The second mistake was I was having a pity party after the show. I was just in a mood. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I let my pride get in the way of texting right in front of me. We were in a caravan. We were in the woods caravanning, the rest of the crew. I could have said to any one of those guys, hey, do you mind pulling off at this station with me? Yeah. And even one of the guys said to me, I saw you pull off and I didn't want to look like a pussy, and I know you can handle yourself. And I was so out of it. And, you know, I have a gun. I have a taser. I have mace. I have stabbing tools, Carla. But where were they? They were on the seat, the passenger seat. And I'm just tired in the middle of the night, fueling, and I could sense somebody coming up behind me. And luckily, I was so pissed. And don't with me when I'm, and I just.
That's the wrath of him.
No, I was just like, how fucking dare you mess with me when I am already tired, and I just beat the shit out of the guy. And I think he was like on meth or tweaking on, buzzing on something, but it's like, and I didn't give him just one kick. But when he was down, I was like, he got a throat punch and he got a kick. And then I was so done. And then I was like, do I call the cops? No, because I don't want to deal with what's your real name and my age and being on the news, because they would show it because it was a good scene. Right. So I pulled away, and then I watched the son of a bitch go up to another car. And I was like, I am going to hit him in my huge Sprinter. I'm going to run this son of a bitch over. So I was ready to run him over when another guy came out of Pilot, and he punched the guy in the chest. The guy went down again. I'm like, all right, he's done. Like, if he gets up from that, then he's like, I don't post that stuff out of like, oh, look at me. I post it almost like I'm out of control and I almost ran a man over. Like, I'd better film myself and do
accountability, a check-in.
Do a PSA, because I don't think women these days, they just are on their phone and they're looking around and everybody's distracted. And you know, the other night I went into a Walgreens. I waited to get some photos. There was nobody there. I kindly said, hey, is anybody just like this? Like, anybody here tonight? Anybody working? Like, I wasn't mean, wasn't a bitch. I was not rude at all. I know when I'm being a snot, and I wasn't. And I could, again, from behind me, I pulled down my mask so that I could say something. This guy comes behind me, walks in front of me, and says, if you would just shut your effing mouth and put your effing mask on. And like, I heard this guy screaming at me, and I thought, oh, he must know me from wrestling or from some TV stuff, and he's going to get, and it wasn't. He was legitimately that hostile and angry. And I was like, I literally felt annihilated or like raped.
Well, it was a psychic energy bomb just thrown at you.
It was so bad. Like, I felt like somebody violated me. And then the next thing I could think of is like, I wanted to go out to the parking lot and fight him. And I'm like, no, You know, I literally was like, I'm going to go beat this guy's ass, you know? And so, and then I'm like, what are you going to, you're going to do? Like, you're going to just, I mean, the stuff that goes through my mind, I'm like, no, stop. You don't need a scene. Yeah. So I went off on him. I was like, well, look at the hot piece of ass walking by tonight. And I was like, what? You're going to get shot at. Shut your mouth. And I'm like, you are verbally out of control of your body. So sometimes when I film stuff, it's to keep, like you said, myself in check. Yeah. So I appreciate that, but back to you and feeling weird about posting, like, why would somebody like you feel weird about posting, or why would you have anxiety on social media? I know why I do, but why would somebody like you?
Yeah, no, honestly, I remember when social media first came out, I think it was MySpace back in like 03 or 04. Right. And I remember a couple of my girlfriends, they created a joint account and you had like music playing when someone visited it. It was like something silly and like a problem with everyone's friend, or I don't remember. Anyways. And it was kind of just like fun to like, they would snoop on people, you know, just snoop on everyone's lives, who's with who and who's cheating on who and oh, their relationship. Anyways, it was kind of funny. And I was like, I had no desire to, I've always been a very private person, just a very private person, maybe to a fault. Because maybe to a fault, and then Facebook came out, and I remember it was more of kind of a college networking connection type thing, and then it opened up in general. But I just remember, oh God, like no, I didn't put any thought into it of either like judging it or wanting to do it. But then as I got more prevalent, I was like, am I just being, you know, going against the grain? You know, it didn't make sense. But then I thought, am I just being too stubborn? Like, am I not being a part of the crowd? You know, when someone asks you to go on the dance floor, I'm like, I don't want to dance. I don't want to dance. And it did, to be honest, now that I really reflect on it, it was like I was too chicken, you know, to put myself out there. But then again, I didn't feel that I needed to. So it was a combination of both of, you know, fear of people seeing you, fear of people judging you. Who am I? All that, like, what do I have to say? But then, to be honest, anything that was on there, which I saw just from my friends, it didn't interest me. You know, I've always been that weird kid that has to have deep connection. Like all the movies I liked had like deep soul connect. Like I had an existential crisis at 11. I mean, hello, that's why I'm a therapist now. But you know, the simple things like that never got that simple stuff. Like when 11 years old in junior high, when everyone was like, oh, what shirt are you going to wear? What shoes are you going to wear? I'm like, what's the meaning of life? Like,
I love it.
I'm just that weird kid. So I think it had to do with just my temperament, the things I was into, the stimulus, and it just didn't interest me, pretty much. But
good point to make really quickly, again, for people listening and watching, is it's okay to just be you and not necessarily go along with what everybody else seems to think is what everybody – so, okay, so you had this breakdown at 11 or the meaning of life.
Okay. So basically, I – in hindsight, that was the first time I'd ever got depressed. I didn't know it was depression. All I knew because I actually had to homeschool. I was 11 and I was just starting sixth grade, and I had a teacher that didn't care for me much. And it was just a lot of problems. And my mom's like, you know what? Screw this. I'm taking you out. You can homeschool for the rest of the year before you go to the next school in junior high. But I was always that really outgoing kid, really charismatic, always the life of the party, the class clown, hence why I got in so much trouble. But so when I was at home homeschooling, it really took a toll, and I wasn't aware of how much my social circle and my expression and my connection with people really fed my soul, fed my spirit. So I pretty much was alone all of a sudden, and hit me hard. And I just remember feeling sadness, like, you know, what's the meaning of life type thing, just really alone, you know, but not wanting to show it because I didn't want to freak my parents out, stuff like that. So then, I just remember being like on the bathroom floor, the moonlight shining in. It was quite the scene. And I just had this overwhelming feeling of like, I don't want to miss my life. Like, I don't want to miss my purpose. And I couldn't even say those words, but I just felt that we all feel it at certain times. I just happened to feel it a little earlier, of like that weight of like, why? I know I'm here to do something. Oh shit. I know it's finite. I don't want to fuck it up type thing. So that's what kicked off that whole me journaling a lot and getting into philosophy and psychology and self-help and all that crap. But yeah.
It's so important for people to understand that at so many different ages, we wonder what we're supposed to do, or are we okay And one of the questions somebody had was, I know one of our viewers lost his mom recently. And I don't know if you've lost a mom or a dad or somebody that close. Mm-hmm. I have. And he just, I can tell, is having a really hard time coping with that. And he just said, does Miss Carla have any advice on how do you deal with the loss of a loved one? So if somebody came and asked you that, what would you tell them?
Yeah, I have a client who lost her father. And so I just dealt with that yesterday. And the thing is that, you know, just like our physical bodies have a healing mechanism, like if you cut yourself, it scabs over. Mm-hmm. Our spiritual soul has the same healing process. We have to tend to it, make sure it's clean, but leave it alone. Ooh. Meaning allow it and pay attention. Know that it's there. Like, oh crap, I have a gaping hole in my heart because I just lost my mother, as anybody would. So condolences. And allow it. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to, you know, put a bandage over it all crappy to hide it. It's going to get gangrened. It's, you know, it's going to get, you know, gross and get
infected.
Infected and fester. As does the stuff inside. If you don't tend to it, that shit's going to come out. You're going to get sick and it's going to spread to other parts of your body. Your psychology becomes your physiology. Just remember that it's two parts of the side of the coin. A lot of people just live on the physical realm of their physical bodies. See, hear, smell, taste, touch, those senses. There's a whole inner world. It's an inside game. And I really explain it as it's the equivalent of when we look back at people when they thought it was a flat earth and we're like, oh, they were so ignorant. They thought it was a flat earth. They just didn't know. They were just ignorant.
So there's people that still think it's flat, but
yeah. Okay. Yeah. But people in the future are going to look at us and be like, oh my God, they thought they were just physical beings. They didn't know how to wield their energy and their thoughts. How sad. And it is sad, but we're all awakening to it. And I really love that. So back to the gentleman. And when you lose someone, you just have to, number one, allow it. There's no wrong feelings. Keep it clean, meaning keep your, whatever you do to, self-care, connect. You gotta do that. You can't just, it's easy to go for the things that are escaping and avoiding, the drinking, the drugs, the sex, the food, anything. Those are coping skills, but those are negative coping skills that cause even more hurt and harm. It's like pouring gasoline on the fire. It's gonna exacerbate it, make it worse. And alcohol is a depressant. I can go into my experience with that, but, it's chemical. If you drink and drink it'll automatically, you know, mask over that pain, but you're going to wake up in the morning not only grieving again, but feeling worse because all of those, alcohol is a depressant. It releases all those and holds back all the good feeling hormones. So that's that. But
interesting. I never heard that. I know it's a depressant, but I didn't know it holds back good feeling things.
Yeah. It F's up your serotonin, all the good stuff when you work out, when you have sex, when you hug. It blocks all that crap.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's.
Do you even drink at all anymore or not?
No, I am almost 2 years alcohol free, and it was because that was my coping skill. It was my coping skill for everything. Like I first drank when I was 14 years old because of the big feelings and those big emotions that I was like, this is too much. And the first time I had a drink, I'm like, oh, sweet relief. This is it right here. This is a way to escape all that.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I don't drink. I never have. So I'm always interested in another. I just don't care. I'd rather have those calories in the form of like cake or
creme
brulee.
Tell me, please, how did you escape that? Tell me right now. Did you have people in your family that had problems and then you don't have any? Or what was the...
No, emphasis? You know, I just lived in the ghetto and then the hood. And I just saw like everybody using drugs and drinking and going absolutely nowhere. And kids, like by the time they were in eighth grade, ninth grade, like... Yeah. Getting in gangs or, you know, I'm not dissing strippers and hoes and pimps and whatnot, but like, I've just got news for you. If you're planning on going into the prostitution ring, it just doesn't normally work out very well for people. And they end up dying, committing suicide, hanging themselves, being hung, whatever. And I just like, I never saw somebody achieving great heights and then getting up and saying, I'd like to thank drugs and alcohol. I just never did. And it just, I always like attributed it to a hot mess. And then my mom didn't drink because she came from a 10 sibling family of abuse and they all took vow to never drink, but I thought that was over the top. And I was often embarrassed by like how I'm not going to drink. I'm like, all right, if you're not going to drink, bitch, just like, you know, that's your deal, but you don't need to make everybody else feel badly about it. But right. I think, I wonder, like, is it nurture? Is it nature? Is it what? I don't know what it is, but like, I drank a little bit in college. I got really fat and I was like, ugh, I don't like how I feel. I'm sludgy. I look like a muffin man, woman thing. And I was like, I don't even like the taste of it. Like, to me, booze smells like, what, cat urine? If a cat, like, I had a lot of cats at one time and they're always like pissing in like the cat box. Like, I had 7 cats at one time and they would well up, like, no matter how many cat boxes, they'd all use one and it would smell like this, like, beer place. And I was like, why do people want to do? Now, some people really enjoy their craft beer, and more power to you. God love you, bros. If you really,
I was huge on craft beer.
If you really, really dig it, then I get it. But I am gonna say most chicks don't like the taste of booze. They just do it to like fit in with the guys, and then I can slam back. And it's like, oh, okay, loosey goosey pussy woman, you know, like, wow, you're great. You know,
Goldie, I did. I loved beer. If there was a sommelier for beer, it was me. It was bad.
So you really, now, did you really, when was the first time that you had beer? Was 14. That your go-to? But did you just on your own open up the refrigerator, or did you see somebody going, oh, crack this open, all American beer? Like, mm-hmm. Where did it come from?
My environment, my friends, the group I hung around with. My parents did not drink. I did not have alcohol at home. None of my family really did.
How did your friends react? Like, this was like forbidden, or this is like the thing that's going to fix everything. Or I'm saying, I look at what was around it and I am such a, hey, wait a minute. I gotta check that out, or I have to challenge that, or I'm not going to go along with the. So whenever I see a bunch of people doing stuff, my little antennas go up and I'm like, what is this? Like, is it good or is it not good? Even like stuff like CrossFit. And I see these people like, they're doing it. And I'm like, you are ripping your rotator cuff out. You are a chiropractor's dream. Like, what you're doing is not controlled and natural, and you're going to can hurt yourself. And so then I don't go, or I'll go to CrossFit and then throw a fit when I'm like, I will do everything with, no, you're going to do, no, I'm not going to do that. I'll do everything but that. Like, you're going to rip your Achilles heel out. I've seen it. I'm a pro wrestler. I always look at like, why did you really love the crappy? Or was it like some hot guy that was like really into it, or a girl that you thought, I want to look like her or be like her? I look at, where does it come from? Did you really, really just one day crack open that beer and love it? Or like you said, did you see some stuff?
It was an acquired taste. Honestly, I did not like the taste until I got older and really used it as a coping mechanism. I would say when I was younger, it was just for the thrill and the fun of being bad. And yeah, the boys and all that, you know, hiding in the park and doing that. But in hindsight, I look back and all those kids, they came from families that drank. That's why they had it. But so it wasn't really, it didn't really begin to be a problem until I was probably about when I was in college, like 21, when I really started using it to escape.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that it slows down a lot of the, and I'm not, guys, if you're listening to this, I'm not trying to get on my soapbox. I'm like, there's so many people that drink and are totally cool with controlling it. And that's not what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
We're talking
about. Oh, no. And that's what I say too. I mean, I wish I could, but I just had to realize I can't. And there's, and God bless everybody who can. Like, that's amazing. I look at it as this, you know, alcohol and spirits are like putting a little seasoning and salt on the main dish.
Sure.
If it enhances whatever you're doing, exactly. Fabulous. But if it's my main dish, I was eating spoonfuls of salt. I'm like, F the food. Just give me the seasoning. Like, yeah. And it was for a purpose. It was like, I want to, what was the word I would use? I want to get annihilated. Like, I just want to get blitzed. Like, I didn't hold back. I was like, I want to completely get out of my body. And I heard this Sadhguru, this yogi that speaks all the time. And he said, you know, like I mentioned, we're physical and spiritual beings. We don't like boundaries. We want to always break boundaries. And the more, and I attribute to like some addicts or people that I know, We don't like boundaries. We don't like authority. We don't like to be told what to do. So anything due to escape, to like break these walls, that's why drugs, alcohol, they make you feel high in the moment. Like you are just, you feel like you can soar, you know, because it feels like you're breaking those boundaries out of your skin because you don't know how else to do it, except through a substance.
I attribute also, like, for people, I may not drink, but like I don't buy certain things at the grocery store. Like I don't buy treats and I don't buy cereal. Mm-hmm. I don't buy desserts because I have absolutely zero willpower on not eating the entire box in one night or the entire gallon of ice cream. Like, so I know myself. Yeah. So I'm no better than that alcoholic with when it comes to sugar and things. That's my thing. Mm-hmm. I love sugar. And it's so interesting when you were talking about like it, you said it something earlier when you were talking about, why were you saying about all the senses? Or you, didn't you say it numbs, you're this, you're that? Like,
no, I was saying that I was just referring to the fact that we have an inner and outer, and we just kind of live in the physical world of our senses. And that's what we go off of, as opposed to going inside and exploring the spiritual world. Or just our inner self, getting in touch with that. Because that truly is where the sustainable fuel is. Because the rest is not sustainable. It's not sustainable. If I kept drinking, I would have died. Period.
Interesting. And it's so interesting too. Like, so we're half an hour into this and, you know, some people will get it. Some people won't. By the time this airs, I'm in the clear. But like, I have COVID right now really bad. I can barely, I've got maybe 20 more minutes in me. I am clenching my asshole as we speak. I have let everybody know of my massive diarrhea on my last podcast. If you look at the promo for today, I mean, so the promo for today, God bless her, Samantha Johnson, like I knew something was wrong when I shot that, but I was like, I can't cancel on her. And I was literally like, I still have 101 temp. I'm on day freaking 10. If I don't take fever reducing things, I'm at 102, danger zone, not supposed to be there. I've got all this self-care that I'm supposed to do. But the thing that's driving me the most nuts is like, for as sick as I am, because I really, really feel like shit and it's been 10 days, is I can't smell or taste anything. And I just keep looking for that comfort of a chai tea or put some perfume on or wash my hair to smell it. And it's like, it's nothing. And I just feel like this baby ass pussy that's, you know, of all the things, if that's all that goes wrong with me is that I could never smell or taste again, then I'd probably be in amazing shape. God bless me. You know, but like I am really realizing how important all of this stuff is because it's gone.
And when did you find out?
Oh, I got sick 10 days ago, like right after the weekend of the gas station incident. Like, cause I'm trying to tell, like, turn on my things feeding back, trying to tell like people, cause I've got a friend that keeps telling me like COVID isn't real. And I'm like, well, it's pretty real here. And he's like, well, how do you know that you don't have just a cold or whatever? And then I went and got tested and they're like, you have like every possible check, check, check. And I'm like, I know that I do because I can't smell and I can't taste. I've had a fever for freaking at that point, like a week. You know what I mean? I don't feel like any other flu or cold that I've ever had. And honestly, a flu or a cold, Carla, I'm down for like 4 to 8 weeks, like flat, and I get all this. I don't have any of that. I can't breathe and it feels like I have pressure, but I'm not full of a bunch of phlegm and the normal gunk that I get every year. And I'm like, this is something really different. But like, I got into it with a friend saying, he's like, it's not real and it's all like political. And I'm like, I can see where you would think that and whatever, but I am definitely really sick and like I'm shitting my pants more than
you
I
know. It affected your gastrointestinal system.
Oh, I literally last night I thought that I was gonna pass gas and I started to shit myself in bed. And I'm like, so help me God, I am X amount old, age old, I'm not at this point in my life gonna shit the bed. Like, I'm not. And I was like, son of a bitch. I think it was like the 15th time that I got up in the middle of the night to go crap. And I told my friend, like, my asshole feels like it's like my mom, God rest her soul, she had Crohn's disease. She was always in a good mood. But I'm like, no, she must have had the most unhappy sphincter. And she was always in a good mood and gracious. And I'm like, I literally was like, is there chapstick that I can shove up my ass? Like something. Oh, it's cool. So bad. It's just like, you can't stand up, and you, I'm literally propped up here. Like, I've got this thing behind me, like Bernie's at, Weekend at Bernie's. You can't stand up. You're shitting yourself. You can't smell or taste. You have seizures. That's a new one. I didn't know until I went to the hospital. Yeah, because of the fever being that,
right,
that constant for that many days. Like, so I had a seizure. I fell down the stairs. I fractured my foot. I'm just a hot mess. And again, all I can think about is I can't smell or taste any of my treats. It really makes you appreciate things in life, and having to lie to everybody, because I don't want anybody to know. Like, Monday night, I was going to do the live thing for the Los Angeles Tribune, and I was just like, I'm going to be on there and shit myself. No, I'm not. I'll be leaving like every 5 seconds. So I just said I wasn't feeling well. And then Dr. Forrest is like, what's going on? I didn't tell her. Because it's just like, because people either don't believe you, or they say it's not real, or how do you know? Or it's like, well, because again, I'm shitting myself all night long in the bed almost. And it's a really weird thing. But like I said, the whole senses thing, I'm really like, man, how do people, like blind people, how do they deal? Or how do people that are deaf deal? Or like, I really don't have much to complain about.
It's about gratitude. I just interviewed a guy today. So his daughter has hearing impaired in both ears, hearing loss in both ears. She's 7, and he just wrote a children's book called Athena Goes to the Marina. AthenaGoesToTheMarina.com. Go check it out. But it's about a little girl and hearing aid loss. But these things, just to see, just to hear, just to smell, just that, those are our experiences that were, you know, faculties given to us, if we're lucky, that we can experience these things, you know. But if it's, yeah, gratitude. I'm grateful. I have these candles. They smell delicious. Ooh, look at the green screen. But yeah, it's like, I'm grateful. Grateful.
How about some advice for people who are frustrated that they can't find love? What if somebody came to you and said, I can't seem to find somebody? I know of some beautiful men that are watching who are wonderful guys. And I try to put things out, like with our Monday motivation for Patreon and things, to kind of like let people kindly, in a kind way, know, like, some people are constantly complaining. Like, everything that comes out of their mouth is a complaint. I'm like, I try to say, you got guys, that is not sexy. Like, look at what you're saying and retrain yourself. And if it's something that you're guilty of, then just zip it, nip it in the bud right now, and start tomorrow or tonight, and post something that you're grateful for, or post something that you're looking for in a mate or whatever. But to constantly just talk about how bad work is and how bad this is and how you can't lose weight. And I just want to help. I want to help you guys. So I know there's some great guys out there, and I'll tell them, hey, bro, you know, you got a muffin top, clean it up. Or I'm the first person to say, you look like shit, bro. Like, clean it up. You've got all these resources. You can watch YouTube videos. You can just start with what you're putting in your mouth and cut that in half, or do the gimmick that I do and don't even bring it into the house, or only bring in things that you know that you should have, and get excited about looking hot. Because like, there's no guy that's out there that's like, oh, look at that, you know, whatever lady. Oh, I think I want to, you don't want to bang that. Like, it's going to work the same way for you. Like,
yes.
If you wouldn't want to bang yourself, then don't have a pity party about it. Like, do something about it. And I get excited about that. But as far as love, like, there are some guys who are doing a good job, and they're cleaning their pubes and haircuts and whatever they got to shave and do, and good for them. But that doesn't mean, just because you're doing that, that like, that the gates open up and here are your, you know, plethora of virgins to pick from. It doesn't work like that. So what can you tell? What can you tell somebody who's just like, love hasn't happened for me yet? Like, I want some wise words from a licensed therapist almost.
Yeah.
I want some words from you that give them encouragement and keep them excited about new possibilities.
Right. I am. Thank you for that. I'm in no way an expert, but I'm an expert on my own life.
Okay.
And that's kind of the way I approach therapy. There's like person-centered therapy approach, where you are the expert in your own life. If I were to see you as a client, I'm not there to give you advice. I'm not there to give you the answers. I am there to guide you to the answers that are within you, because every question has an answer. And the harsh truth is, if you get quiet, light a candle, sit down and stare at something for just 3 minutes.
God, my pants.
ask yourself the question, am I who I want to be in the relationship I want? Like, am I that person already? Not you're going to wait for it to happen and then you're going to start going to the gym and do all this and get there. You have to already be it and feel that. You know when you've had your mojo. You know when you were just, you know, attracting all everything. You felt good. It's about self-esteem. It's about self-worth. It's about that self-image. Are you that person? If you want, think about the perfect woman you would ever want to be with. Mm-hmm. If you met her today, would you be ready to lay her down and be totally comfortable in your skin? Yes mm-hmm. or no?
Mm-hmm.
The answer is no. Seek to do that work. What do you got to change? Do you want to start eating healthier? Do you want to go back to school? Do you feel inferior intellectually? Do you feel inferior physically? Do you feel inferior spiritually? What do you want? It's about getting clear about what you want. Find that. Then ask yourself, is this what's going on here? You know, able to receive it. Because if you met the hottest chick and you're like, it's about timing. And there's 7 billion people on the planet. Trust me, you're going to find someone. We're human beings. We're meant to connect and to mate. I mean, it's inevitable. But it's like, what do you want out of a relationship? And then ask yourself, am I fully ready today? If you're not today, stop complaining and stop, you know, being a victim. I was definitely that. Trust me. I had like existential just rage and anger of like, you know, whoever the fuck put me on this earth better give it to me now when I'm owed something. I didn't ask to be here. Just like all kinds of stuff. I was in a real bad space. Who wants to date that? Just an angry person who thinks someone's going to come, you know, I don't think I'm a supermodel, but I know I'm not a troll. So where the fuck are the men? You know, that's what I would be like. But that's not an attitude to be. No one's going to want to go out with me. You just got to get humble. Got to get honest with yourself. Ask the question. You have the answer. Just get quiet and be honest with yourself.
That's so funny what you said, because it is, I'm going to tag you later, one of the last tub talks that I did. I do my show in the tub. I thought that would be a great idea to unwind and, you know, pop open some chai tea again, because I don't drink. I always have to like have my tea joke or some effervescent water. And then I didn't realize how hard it is to film in the tub and how wrinkly that you get. And then when I'm trying to get notes and then I'm pulling notes up and then the ink jet's running and I can't see. And then where do I put the lav? And then I knock the microphone in the water. It's just a disaster. But the last tub talk that we did was exactly like, are you the person that you want to date, you know, already? There's something so solid about that. In all of your experience and all of your training, and you just mentioned this 7-year-old child that is hearing impaired. What is an example or an experience that you've had that was a real wow? Like, I never thought this would happen, or I never saw this coming with this patient, or something to draw from your experience that humbled you and made you think like, oh, because I know I've got, like, I'm not a therapist, but like, speaking of like the troll, you know, I was at a Lowe's and I wasn't getting the service that I needed. And I was like, hello, just like I told you earlier, I was like, anybody here? I was nice because of this experience. So, you know, I'm yelling at the top of my lungs, like, is anybody working here tonight? You know, are you helping people? Hello. And I was so vile and so rude. And I'll never forget like the guy in the wheelchair who's, I'm coming around the corner. And, you know, and here's this guy with fucking cerebral palsy who's like, you know, his little arms are waving around and he was like, I can only get there then. And I'm like, oh, hi. And I just said, how you doing? I'm an asshole. And you are. And he just like, is it okay? And I was like, no, I'm really a fucking asshole. And I am really sorry. And I will never be a dick like this again. And he was like, well, how can I help you? And I'm like, well, do you even want to now? And he's like, no, really, it's okay. And I'm like, I feel really bad. Like, I'm really mean to you and you have cerebral palsy. We ended up laughing and like, I ended up looking for him like the next time that I went in. I was like, where's the cool guy in the wheelchair, baby? You know, and so he'd come, I'm coming. You know, we got to be like little buddies and everything like that. But like, that's one of those moments in my life where I was like, you asshole, who do you think you are? Like yelling at somebody like, yeah, there was nobody to be found in Home Depot, but clearly now you know why. It took them a minute to like
get his rig in gear and get over to my freaking aisle. Like, I have learned some things like that, that there's been some moments in my life, usually with somebody handicapped, and then I'm just like, ugh, that really penetrated my soul, where I was just like, I didn't see that coming, or wow, now I've learned something from that, and hopefully I can fix it, never recreate it again, and then tell that story about patience. And before you run your mouth, maybe give it a beat, because you don't know what other circumstances are happening around you. So what is something either in your life or in your practice that comes to mind where you were just like, oh, I didn't see that coming, and it's a great life lesson?
You just explained so beautifully. We all are therapists. We truly are. We really, everyone's our teacher. Every single person is our master. Every single person you meet knows something you don't. Mm-hmm. Every person. So it's about humbling up, knowing that, you know, we are truly all the same. Yes, we have different life experiences, blah, 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 but be kind, because you never know. I was in grad school, and I was with one of my classmates, one of my cohort mates. There was just 10 of us girls. And her sister had cancer, bone cancer, like one of the most severe. And they had to, like, her other sister was the donor for the bone marrow. And that's if you guys know about being a, you know, donor for, it's the most painful thing to do. So they went through that, got through it. Then she lost her uncle, who was her, like, you know, they were a very close family, which was her dad's brother. And then lost her dad like 3 months later. I mean, it was just like, talk about waves. Like, once you're hit, and you just, when you get back up, you get hit again. And I just use that as a recent example of seeing someone who lost so much life, just grief, and the way that she was so strong. I mean, if there was ever an example of stamina of spirit and soul and faith, if she didn't have faith, I don't know what coping skill or tool she would have used. I mean, we see it all the time. People, you know, like you said, commit suicide or drink or do stuff like that. So, you know, I would say that humbled me. It brought me to tears for a long time whenever I talked to her. It made me so grateful for everything that I have, like my family that I still have, and just kind of knowing, getting that wake up call, that life is not infinite, and that I am, you know, death doesn't happen to other people. Death doesn't happen to other people. It will happen to me. It will happen to my family. Death doesn't happen to other people. And I love using this. I always have my hourglass here, you know, and it's like, this is the only thing that exists, that the time that's passing. This is the past. We can't ever get that back. It's not going to flow back up. But this, we think we're good. We think we have all the time in the world. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, we have no idea. It could be 30 minutes, 30 days, 30 years, 30 seconds. You don't know. And don't think you're too, like, but I'm special. I have a big life ahead of me. No.
I don't think like that, Carla. I have a terminally ill mom who's deceased now, and then a handicapped dad, and I've never thought like that. If anything, I have anxiety and panic all the time, because I think, how much time do I really have left? Or I wake up or feel the pressure of my dad, who is older. And I think he is just so, he's on the podcast all the time. You guys all know Tom the Conservative, what a, you know, run in his mouth type of guy. And like, literally I can feel like breath, like on my, I can feel my breath cave in, and pressure on my chest daily, worrying about him, worrying about how much time he has left, because he's 78. And I just think, what is it like to be at that point in time when, you know, those old people are like, oh, take me home, I want to be with Bessie, or, you know, and it's like, that is just not my mom was like, when she was dying, I just remember, like, what do I say to this woman who is in hospice dying? Like, I just said, Mom, what are you the most afraid of? Can I ask that? And I will never forget. She looked me dead in the eye. In the eyes, and grabbed onto my arm and drew blood with her nails. She dug into me so tight, and she just said, because I am afraid that I can't take you with me. And I was just like, and then I took my nails and I dug them into my thighs as hard as I could, because I was like, don't let her see you cry. Like, just be there. And I just said, you know, and I tried to say everything that I could, but like, what the, do you say to somebody who is literally
getting ready to die. And when you've been with somebody and they've had their last breath, like, I don't wish that on everybody, but I kind of wish it on everybody to have that happen early on in life so that you are appreciative of every moment. And I worry for my dad just because I want him to live the last days out in happiness. And I just think, what's it like to wake up and know you're terminal, or to know your sands are almost done? Yeah. So I've never, ever taken that for
granted.
That's
a gift, Goldie. That's a gift. That's a gift I wish I had. I remember I was 16, and I would say that's when it first changed. One of my good girlfriends, her father passed away, and I'm like, I'm not going to die. And she looked at me, she goes, Carla, don't be an idiot. And I'm just like, oh, I'm an asshole. I think that I was like superhuman. And so, and then I had a lot of friends die just when I was younger. I went to a lot of funerals. Death was really around me. That's hence the existential stuff. But I definitely, didn't take the reflection of getting serious about my life. I think I spent too much time feeling sorry for myself and playing the victim and, why me? Blah, blah, blah.
Easy to do. It's almost like you're fantasizing about stuff sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I call on some of the people watching this, like you're either the people that are watching this are either that, or they're like I can think of like Ken or Paul that it might be listening this far into the podcast. Like these are like truck driving or like, real working men. Like they don't, I know you guys, and I know you have some sensitive sides to you as well, but those are the type of dudes that aren't complaining about everything online. They just grit it and grin it and bear it. Mm-hmm. But there are some people that do fantasize with the poor me and the victim and all that. And it's easy to do that. And I'm going to tell you, like, get up off your ass if that even crosses your mind or your vocabulary, because you're never going to get anywhere with that mentality. Like, go back to mid podcast where we're like, you know what you need to do, and be quiet, be still, and just be honest with yourself.
But the thing is that you're so passionate about that, Goldie, and you're, and it comes out as, impassioned. And trust me, I yell at my parents and I get mad if I, because you have such an empathetic soul and you truly want people to be happy.
I do, honestly.
And underneath that is the vulnerable heart, your gold heart that is covered with, because you had a mother who was ill or your father.
Yeah.
And you have that, you know what loss is and you know what life means. And we can just, and when we're passionate, we scream about things or we got on our stick, burn the torches for any cause or any movement. It is because we underneath are afraid. It's fear. We're either in fear or love. We're either in fear or love. Mm-hmm. And I'm afraid of losing my parents. So I'll go over there and be like, what are you guys doing? Blah. It's just like, I have to reel it back. Cause I'm like, this isn't helping, not just them, but me, And, but I know that people know you love them and you care about their health and all this, and all the, your wonderful fans know that you have a heart of gold and that you, you say it out of love, but, and people do get it. But I agree that, when you're honest with yourself, we all have that one degree. If you feel like there is just this chasm, there is just the space between where you are in your mind and where you really are when you look outside, that it's just not congruent. You are not in alignment. Shit doesn't match. The inside does not match the outside. And you can blame it on everything else like we talked about, but it's an inside out game. Too many people, 99% of people live from the outside in. It's an inside out game. You have got, it starts here and everything is a thought. And I don't want to get up too woo woo, but like, when you think of something, it creates an emotion and then we act a certain way. So that's the CBT, the cognitive behavioral therapy, the thought, feeling, action, thought, feeling, action. But you have got to, if we just see, react instead of respond, if we react to everything, then it's going to make us feel a certain way. Then we're going to think a certain way. Then we're going to act a certain way. Then it's like, it's the opposite. We have to live from the inside out. And yes, it sucks. Yes, life's not fair. Life is not fair. Newsflash, life isn't fair. And we have to find some way, find a positive coping skill. And we all have that one degree. Like, if you're going, you're on a ship and you're headed off and you have that compass. If you're off literally one teeny tiny degree, you will end up hundreds of miles away from your original destination. For me, it was alcohol. Nothing was going right in my life. I was blaming everything else. I was pissed at God. I was like, I'm a good Catholic girl. I hate you. Like, I'm so mad at you right now. I was pissed. But little did I know, it's like I was doing it. I knew I was doing it. It was me. I was leaning on an unsustainable fuel to cope, to run away from all of the truth that was would have gotten me to my destination quicker. So I feel like now I'm more in alignment. Now I'm living more of my truth, and I'm at peace. I am at peace. So
top of the hour, Goldie's Closet episode 94. My beautiful guest, who is also Catholic. Toot toot. A lot of Catholics that are listening, and I appreciate
really?
That. Oh yeah.
Really?
A lot of good.
Are you joking or really?
No, for real Catholics. Am I Catholic? Yeah, but we have a lot of people that listen. I do little rosary, like decades of the rosary for people, and I put it up and they DM mm-hmm. me on what their prayer is and whatnot. And I think that's really important that everybody gets a chance mm-hmm. to verbally or write out what it is that their intention mm-hmm. is, you know, even if nobody but me sees it, and I yeah. say my prayers on it and do it. But yeah. we want to thank everybody at the Realm Network and also everybody at Russo's Brand if you've made it this far. And we want Miss Carla to promote anything right now that she wants to promote. I know we can follow you on Instagram at Indie Talk Show.
Yeah. Inside Talk Show.
I'm sorry. Did I say Indie before? I said Inside before.
You said Inside before. Yeah,
I did. Yeah. I was just thinking Indie right now. Inside Talk Show. And then Twitter. Is it the same on Twitter?
Yeah, actually, I don't have Twitter. I'm you know, charting the territory slowly but surely. But on Facebook, it's me, Carla Elizondo. Instagram, Inside Talk Show, and then Inside Talk Show is also a channel on YouTube.
Okay.
And then I just started. I'm doing so many. I started a new one called The Citadel on YouTube as well. But if on the Instagram, there's a link that has the link to everything else. So I would say Instagram is the best place to find me at Inside Talk Show.
I got it. And then you really do need to get a Twitter because pretty much 99% of anybody really? Here is a Twitter. It's a whole different, it's a whole different audience. It's just a whole different beast. And it does take, it's a more cerebral audience and it takes a while to work it. But I would definitely recommend that at least you start now and just take the same stuff and put it over there and keep putting it out because you'll need it eventually. And it takes, it's a lot harder to build. Twitter is the hardest of all platforms.
Really?
Have found. Yeah, it's hard. So, okay. I mean, even when I get no views at all, you know, I just keep on plugging away because you just don't know when it's going to come into play or you sign with a different network or a show or whatever. And they're going to be like, Carla, you need to have your Twitter going. So I schooled you. Say, do your Twitter, even though
Thank you.
It is a lot. It is a lot. I get it. And if you put up yourself naked or getting, you know, plugged in the butt, then you'll get lots of views. You can be going on that. So done with you guys. Can you just freaking like something of substance?
I am a prude when it comes to
so dumb.
Publicly.
Yeah. I try to put out this great content and it's just like, unless my boobs are in it, nobody cares. So I could just die. I'm just like, as if, you know, like, I don't care if you want to like the tits and ass. Like it, but then like the other stuff too, guys. And a lot of the people watching do. That's why they're on our Patreon. Yeah, I love you guys for that. Like, you make me want to like go post something halfway sexy because at least you pop for the stuff that's from the heart. But I mean, I could put up some like, hey, save this child of cancer, and it gets like 2 likes, and then it's like, hey, look at my nips, and it's like thousands. It's just like the shallowness of people. And women are just as bad. It's not like it's all the guys.
I just saw all these things were suggested to me on Instagram, which I'm learning the game. It's been a couple months now. I'm going on my 3rd month, I think. But like, it's like hot men, just like all these posts. And I'm like, oh my gosh, follow.
And then once you click on it, it'll just keep on sending you more and more and more. So yeah, like, if you ever like are out and you're like, oh, let me show you this thing on my Instagram. And like all this like weird ass stuff shows up and they're like, yeah. Mine, luckily, it's all like camera lenses and microphones and, you know, so I'm like, ugh. But, you know, some people all look at it and it's like, it's all like tits and ass sites for, and I'm like, oh, what are you into? You know, no one would ever know.
Yeah. And just remember what you fill your mind with keeps, it's like you're planting seeds. It'll keep putting more of that garden out. So it's like, you know, that's a whole nother thing. I would love to have that topic with you, but just as far as like, you know, what gets us going in sexuality and pornography, even like that's something that it was a hot topic. I wanted to, you know, go for my PhD and do like a whole dissertation on that because that's a whole nother topic of you know, the more we go down that rabbit hole of what stimulates us, it becomes to a point where it's so perverse that we don't even, it has to, we just kept having to top the next thing. And then,
You know what? And like the article that I put out for the Los Angeles Tribune today, 6 inches in Goldie's Corner, it's all about size. Size matters. Mm-hmm. So I had Dr. Brooke Fott, and we talked a lot about, she's not an expert with the guy size, which I actually am, because I've talked to so many guys. Like, I just, like, this is just on every guy's brain. They just talk about it. Like, I hear them talking over and over and over. So she came on with the female perspective of it, of girls as early as young as 16 are having massive surgeries, plastic surgery on their junk. I mean, come on, you're fucking 16. Like, you don't think your clit looks right, chick? You know, like, that's...
Your butthole's brown?
Yeah, what? You know, you gotta beat that? No, it's just like... And it's because we're so desensitized by social media, by porn. Mm-hmm. I literally can't even watch porn anymore because I've seen so much porn. I've been in entertainment. I've been around this whole thing with wrestling, with sports entertainment. Just, I've seen it all, and like, nothing gets me off. Like, how sad is that? That it's like, there is nothing that I can see where I'm like, I have a little tingly feeling in my jizz jong. Nothing. It's like, I've seen it all. And all I can think of is, oh, bitch, you can't pay your rent, so you better go do that. Like, I am so desensitized by everything. Like, for me, in order for me to sexually get off, it is all now. It's so psychological. Like, if I am not...
It starts, because we go back to the beginning. It always is psychological.
It is. And it's like, bros, I have been with the finest ass men, the finest physiques, the finest bodies in the world I have been with, okay? And it doesn't matter. I swear to God, the hotter the dude, the more of an asshole, the more of a player, the more of a ladies' man, the more he puts me down, the more I don't even see a hot guy anymore and think I want to get with that. I don't care. Like, so when you're like, oh, all the girls want, you know, all the girls with daddy issues who are tripping it out at night, that's what they go for, but not the solid chicks, good looking or not, or whatever. Like, the healthy ones are not going for that. Like, unless I have some sort of psychological connection, which is usually confidence, I got no time for anybody. It's literally, I have literally walked away from some of, like, people are like, and I had a girlfriend once that she stopped being my girlfriend because she's like, how do you get these guys? You know, like, well, I don't know. I'm hot and you just eat all day and talk about eating all day. No, she did. That's all she did, is just eat junk all day, and like, she just got bigger and bigger and bigger, and she looked like the person that ate herself. And I was like, let's go running, let's go. Oh, I'm too tired. I'm like, you're too tired because you're just eating sugar all day and all night, and you're drinking, just boozing it up. And then she would get mad at me that I got hot guys, and it's like, I got hot guys because I have like immense confidence. Guys, listen to me. You can be the ugliest mother trucker on the planet, and if you've got swagger. What was that?
Oh, yeah. I love some ugly dudes. I like me some ugly men.
I mean, and it's like the American Hustle when you saw Christian Bale transform into that just like muffin top, beer belly, bald. Like, not that bald's wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to edit that. Fuck. Where am I? What's the 109?
No, I'm going to edit that. Like, my sister, oh my God. I think, like, you know, people have crushes. I mean, like, that's a thing. Like, bald is sexy. Not, that's not my cup of tea, but for some women, like, forget it.
Okay. I'm going to cut this all out about the bald stuff, but I had one guy that was having sex with me and he was dripping off of his bald head, and it was like a Chinese torture thing. And so I can't do it. I can't do the balding. So anyway, if I was in love with somebody, I'm cutting this all out. If I was in love with somebody though, and they lost their hair, different story, but I don't go looking for that. All right.
Enough.
Okay. Punching back in. So guys, as we were saying, it's all about swagger. It's about confidence. It's about gratitude. It's about being quiet, being still, figuring out who you are, who it is that you want to be with, and going for that. So you know where to follow. Like. What's that?
Like attracts like.
It does. And you know where to follow Miss Thang on all of her platforms that I can't even remember all of them again.
Inside Talk Show. At Inside Talk Show. Instagram at Inside Talk Show.
And if you need me to ever come on and just fill time or help in any way.
Oh, absolutely. You are definitely going to be a guest. Absolutely.
Porno. We can talk about pornos. That's my dad talks about pornos all the time. Like, I can't go shopping there because they've got pornos. I'm like, Dad, that's every fuel station. So you will be the man at the side of the road that has an empty tank, because good luck finding a freaking fuel station without, it's like he's looking for like the American Catholic fuel station where there's no porno there. They've got porno. I'm like, yeah, Dad, they've got sticks of gum in a pack too. That doesn't mean you need to go buy gum either. You can reel it in. He's always worried about porno. So I can't thank you enough. This has been a really educational and kind podcast. And it's a good break, because it's always sports entertainment or rock and roll or this or that. And I like to balance it out with things that can help people. So I really appreciate you coming on.
Oh, it's my honor. You are just as beautiful inside as you are out, Goldie. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Hey everybody, it's your girl Goldilocks, and we are inside Goldie's Closet. I want to ask a favor of you all, whether you watch the show or not, if you come to our band shows, what have you, it's something that you can do to support, and it costs nothing and no time at all. If you shop on a very popular online website, I would really appreciate it if you would bookmark some of the items that you are shopping for, and if you could just simply do this, go to goldieknows.blogspot.com. If you go over to the right, all the way to the bottom, the About Me section, there's a link. It just says I'm an Amazon affiliate. If you click on that, it takes you inside my umbrella. And everything that you order, I can earn just some help and support to keep all of this going, to keep the band going. We've got a hefty vehicle repair. It's pretty substantial. So it would be really great if you could remember my link. We get some support. It's that simple. I love you all. Thank you for making the time to stop by and check out everything that we're doing. Mwah.